I'm doing the mystery reveal to Paul, but I'm doing it in a way that I hope my children, when I give them this information, when I get through tweaking it, because I've just been working on it for 2 days now. But when I give them this information, it can help them have a better understanding of Scripture, rightly divided, and also maybe find out that they're chosen. I mean, that's the whole idea, is that we all try to present the mystery. That's what Paul asked us to do. So everybody on here would love nothing more than to have their family be parcel of the body that is looking forward to that appearing that will be shining forth when our Lord and Savior burst forth in the upon heavenlies. But that's pretty much my study, when I go through it, if you guys can help me tweak it, my phone number. If you don't, you know my email, because I send every one of y'all email. But you know my email, and I welcome any help or corrections, because that's being a student in the Word, is reaching out and helping others. But you know, Paul's message to the saints and to the faithful in Christ is in Ephesians 1, and also it's in Colossians 2, 1 and 2. You knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at wait a minute, hold on, I didn't start my recording. That way I know I got a solid recording. Sorry, guys. I'm running a little slack tonight. Okay, there we go. And see, tonight is June 20th, 2023, and I'm giving a study on the mystery revealed to Paul. And believe it or not, I have mustard on my paper. Holy cow. I just got all over my fingers. Oh, could you give me a paper towel, please? Yes, I was eating a minute ago, and I was apparently more sloppy than I thought I was. Quit laughing at me, Mike. I know you're laughing over there. Roger, Ronnie, Chip, I know you're laughing at me. Quit. All right, anyway, in Colossians 2, 1 and 2, says, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now, who all would that be? That would come all the way to today. That their hearts might be conformed, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and to the fathering of Christ. So that is where the envelope is addressed to. It says in Colossians 1, 26 and 27, says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is part of the mystery. The mystery of God, the one body, was hid in God from the beginning of the world. In Ephesians 3:16, said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ is in the hearts of the saints. It's part of the mystery that Christ is in the heart of the saints. By faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, that's solid. As Dr. Mike would say, you got it solid. It's rooted and grounded in love. It says, but now there is a new message, the gospel, to those saints that follow God's direction. That was in Colossians 1:26. It says that has been hid from ages and from generations, but now that follow God's direction in His Word to the saints, His followers of Christ, after knowing His salvation, John 3:16. So there's a kicker that I'm going to kind of put in a little bit. But in 19-25, it says, for it pleased the Father that in Him, Christ, should all fullness dwell. So every bit of the fullness of God is in Christ. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, salvation. By Him, Christ, to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, the ones that the address is written to, that were at some time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. He has brought it together. He's cleared it by the cross in the body of His flesh through death. Here you go. To present you holy. It's reconciled. He's presented you holy and unblameable, reconciled, and unreprovable in His sight, reconciled. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, the good news, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof Paul I am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the called out ones, the church, the called out ones, the ecclesia. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God. And we can see a comparison to this verse in Ephesians 5:27, where it says, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, assembly, a glorious body, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it would be holy and without blemish. This body, this assembly of called out believers that are chosen from before the foundation of the world is the mystery. The mystery revealed to Paul by Christ Himself while in prison, epistles in Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Philemon, and Titus, the mystery revealed to Paul was formulated before the foundation. This goes back before the world. This goes back before the Big Bang theory. The casting down of Satan and the angels and the creation of the world. We, the body of Christ, were already in the mind of God before that. The body of Christ was taken out of Christ before the foundation of the world. Cecil gave a study one time to where he likened it to where a piece of Christ was taken out, and then when the body comes to full, His body will be full again. So His body is still not complete until the filling takes place and the glorious appearing takes place. In Ephesians 1:4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It's a done deal. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who has saved us, called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In John 17, during my study at the conference, 17:24, I made mention that the Father, I will, during his pouring out his blood to the Father in prayer, he just pouring his guts out to the Father. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. When we look in Colossians, we see that we're dead and buried with him. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. It's his prayer. So why aren't we there with him now? We are. In 1 Peter 1:19-21, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. There's a mystery prerequisite. Now this is me. This is what I'm saying. This is my opinion. I feel like there's a mystery prerequisite that has to be. To be chosen or called out, to believe God's word to be yea and amen, to believe in salvation through Christ's redeemed blood on the cross, and to understand the practice of right division. That's not scriptural per se, but to me, I feel like if you don't follow these precepts or don't understand these precepts, I don't think you're actually chosen into the mystery truth. Now, I might be wrong, and you guys can tell me if I am. I got, you know, my email. I'd be glad to discuss it, but this is just what I think. When it comes to right division, who gets what hope? Israel, Gentiles, one new man. That's three different hopes right there. So the Jew in Israel was given the law. Moses was the mediator of the old covenant, where if Israel would obey God's covenant, then they shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. That's in Exodus 19:5. And then they're given the 613 laws of mitzvah. That's Israel. That's the old covenant. The law. The law. If they would obey the covenant, then they shall be a peculiar people. Christ was the mediator of the new covenant to fulfill what Israel couldn't do. Fulfill the law in himself. Jesus, our Lord, lived under the old covenant the whole time he was walking this earth. He lived under the old covenant, but he died to make a new covenant. In Matthew 26:28, it says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He's talking about his blood on the cross. But he's just referring to the Last Supper. Because this goes on in, to my knowledge, every Baptist church, and the Catholics do it. I don't know how, but they do. I see them get the bread. They eat the bread. I've seen them do it. But in Romans 9, 4, and 5, it says, "Who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers and of whom concerning the flesh Christ come? Who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." In Galatians 3:16 through 19 says, "Now unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made." And he says, "Not and seeds plural as of many, but as of one, the seed." Now unto Abraham and his seed, there's a culmination of the seed, which is Christ. Christ is the seed that is talking about that comes from Abraham. Once Christ is here, the seed is done. "And this I say, that the covenant was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, which was Moses when they come out of Egypt, 430 years after Abraham's promise. But God gave it to Abraham as a promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions." Israel, from practically day one, transgressions. They took them through the Red Sea. They got across. If that was me or you, we would be praising him from them to now. But then they started questioning right off the bat. You know, well, give us another sign. That wasn't enough. "It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, Christ. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator." Gentiles. In Ephesians 2:11 through 13, Paul says who the Gentiles are. "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." Had no hope. You had no hope in anything to "And strangers from the covenants of promise." Strangers from Abraham's promise. You had no hope. "And without God in the world." So God was not looking after the Gentiles. "But now," the famous "but now." "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Here's the blood of Christ again. It's just over and over and over again. The blood of Christ. The blood, shed blood. "During the Acts period, Gentiles were brought into Israel's blessings of life through his name." Israel's blessings to Abraham and his seed were promises made. And in Galatians 3:16, "And to thy seed, which is Christ," like I said before, in Hebrews 6:14, saying, "Surely blessed I will bless thee, and multiply I will multiply thee." Abraham received blessings due to his faith in God. The seed was Abraham's blessing. Though he hasn't gotten the city yet that is mentioned of in Hebrews, which is yet future, God will give Abraham his city. In Exodus 19, 5 and 6, "Now therefore, if ye obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant," this is Exodus, Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. This is their blessing. This is the Israel's blessing. A peculiar people above all, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. In Acts 13, 16, and 17 it says, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers, and I didn't finish up with that. So strike that. So let's get back to the prerequisite of understanding the mysterious truth. I have 8 bullet points, and one is to believe God. John 3:4, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. When you get to looking at the interlinear, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. That's the way the interlinear says it, which actually gives the verse more punch when it's put like that. And the separate tradition from truth. In Colossians 2:8-9, beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy of vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, such as baptisms, feasts, ordinations, following Old Testament laws, fastings, abstaining from certain meats, proper dress, circumcisions, human philosophy, holy days, etc., etc., etc. It just keeps on going. Number 2 is having salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's simple salvation. With salvation and believing in God, then there, right there is hope of being in Him. That's the starting point, because without those, I honestly don't see how somebody can come to the mystery without having the basics of those. Now, unless they're Ronnie's children that's been taught just from the day they was able to hear Daddy talk, and Papa taught, yeah, I can see these kids not having to go by way of the Baptists and Methodists and Catholic and all that stuff. But, yeah, that family's blessed beyond measure. We get into Ephesians 1:6-7. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood. Here it is again. Redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye were sealed. After that, got ahead of myself. After that, ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13 gives the seal. It's locked in, can't nobody touch it. Because once you believe, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Number 3 is to understand right division. I think it's critical that the body member understand right division? And I personally feel like if a person is chosen, it's going to be automatic. I said during the conference that when me and Candy met, Ronnie and Cecil was giving a study on hell. And, well, they had started on it, but the end of the study was over, so they was going to continue it the next week. And after the study, me and Candy was going down the road, and I told them, I said, you know, Ronnie and Cecil are awesome in the way they deliver their message and what they know. But I'm telling you right now, there's no way in hell they're going to convince me that there's no hell. And I was sincere in that, but praise God, I was the first one to say, yep, you are right, and I can't deny it. But understanding right division, I think, comes natural to the person that's chosen. That Paul went to the Jew first in the Acts books. In Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In Romans 10:22, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. See, Jew first. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. In Galatians 3:28, says, there is neither, there it is again, Jew first, Jew nor Greek, little Greek, Greek, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. But when we look at our calling in Colossians 3:8-11, well, something's just a little different. But now ye put off all anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now this is something we have to deal with. It's been here since Adam. There's no way we can get around it. We're stuck with it. The old man is here, buddy. And all we can do is just, by God's grace and Christ's shed blood, if we keep our eyes on him, it'll be easy enough to keep the old man at bay. 10, and having put on the new man. This is a new man. This is a total different, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. The man is the image of Christ. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew. Wait a minute. Greek is first. Jew ain't first here. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew. So it changed in the body. It's not Jew first. It's now Greek nor Jew. So neither one. They nullify each other out. There is no Greek nor Jew. There is no Jew nor Greek. So it nullifies itself out. But it's neat that how when it gets into the mystery, it changes, puts the Greek first. I know that don't mean nothing, but I might just... it's kind of hit me. Circumcision, nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is in the body. Christ is in everybody I'm looking at there. Once you believe his word, once you accept his testimony, Christ is in you. Once you are chosen, you will see all this. Yes, Doherty, our position has changed. Number 4, being chosen from before the foundation of the world. Not since the foundation, but before the foundation. I got into that earlier. But in Ephesians 1:4, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. 5, being adopted by God as sons. In Ephesians 5, having predestinated, so there's predestination, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He chose us from before the foundation for his good will. Because we would see the truth that God, that's in God's word. We'll see the truth rightly divided and understand it and work. Be one new man. Be equal with everybody, each other. Understand, we all understand the same thing, even though we might see it a little different, and we might can correct each other scripturally, but it's all in love. The one new man, 6. In Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances. See, this goes back to earlier, how Christ was the finished seed that culminated the law. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make himself one new man. So making peace. It's the mystery. One new man is a piece of the mystery. There's so many pieces of the mystery. It's throughout Paul's 7 epistles. Ephesians 4:24, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on Christ, the new man, as a cloth, which is technically the armor of God when you get into Ephesians 6. So you're putting on the armor of God as a new man to protect yourself against the adversaries. Front, back, up, down, the helmet, the shield, the girdle, the sword. In Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewed in knowledge, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. There it is again, Greek nor Jew. Well, I just repeated what I said. Okay, my bad. I thought I'd found another one. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The church being his body, 7. Not the brick and mortar church that Christians flock to today, as Paul mentioned in a few verses, as it were, the church is, as to where the church is. The church is the called out ones, the ecclesia. In Romans 16:3-5, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, to whom not only I gave thanks, but also the called out ones of the Gentiles, the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the assembly, the church that is in their house. Okay, we got house churches now. We've always had house churches. This scripture is as old as any one of us and any of our grandparents, great parents, and just goes on back. It's 2,000 years old that the church that is in the houses, the called out ones that worshiped Christ in their homes, that's the church. In 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches in Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you inasmuch as the Lord with the church assembly that's in their house. In Philemon 1 and 2, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church, the assembly that's in thy house. If I was to go into some of these mega churches and do this, I would be tarred and feathered. is to talking down that they are not the church. The people that are worshiping God in spirit are the church. The body is the church. In Ephesians 1, 17 through 23, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the great, exceeding greatness of His power who believe according to the work of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ, resurrection, power from being raised out from among the dead. When He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him the head over all things to the church, the called out ones, the ecclesia, which is His body. So He gave head over all things to His body. So you can say the church in Colossians and Ephesians is the body. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The church, which is His one body, is looked at as a building, but separate from all others in that it is the calling for the highest blessings. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, Gentiles of past, Jews, Gentile no more, the new man. You're now fellow citizens and of the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief corner, in whom all building, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God. The body is built together for a habitation of God. The body is built together for a habitation of God. That's deep. Through the Spirit. The working Spirit. Without the Spirit, there would be no hope still. But we're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The body. In Ephesians 5, 25 to 30, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, the assembly, and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it, it'll go, with the washing of water by the Word. The Word cleanses. That He might present Him to Himself a glorious church, body, a glorious body, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the body. Even as the Lord the body. Strike, church. That needs to be the body. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. We are part and parcel of Christ. That is another part, the biggest part of the mystery. We're part of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. Colossians 1, 23 and 24. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, the good news of salvation, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, which is his body, the called out ones. And number 8, spiritual blessings of the body of Christ in heavenly places. The body of Christ has blessings like no other blessing has ever given to any man, anywhere, anyhow, by anybody. In Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All. Everyone. Spiritual. You can't get better than that. Ephesians 1:20, which he wrote in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us, you and me, up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Does that sound familiar? It sounds like the Colossians verse, don't it? And hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's the mystery blessing. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the body the manifold wisdom of God. By the body, the manifold wisdom of God. That's Epiraneos in the heavens. When will the body receive our heavenly blessing? Colossians 3:1-4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. It's done. It's done. You're already there. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory. Appear, to be manifest. Phanero, to render apparent, to appear, manifestly declare. And then you have epiphania, a manifestation, the advent of Christ. This is appearing or brightness. And we get this in the last verses that I have tonight. In 1 Timothy 6:14. That thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing, epiphania of the Lord Christ Jesus. And that's, what commandment is that? Charity out of a pure heart. In 2 Timothy 1:10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Appearing. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing and kingdom. This is 2. At his appearing and the kingdom. This is 2 separate appearances. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Epiphania, shining forth. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, guys. I still got some to add to that. It's a work in progress, but I'm going to deliver this to my children. And with prayer, I hope it's my prayer that they can see some truth in Scripture and learn right division. And as I was reading this, I don't remember having 2 Timothy 2:15 in there. Study to show thyself approved, rightfully dividing the Word of God. That is critical. That is another critical aspect as to understanding the body, the mystery, and what God has for the body. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you, dear Lord, for this day and this message, Lord, that you laid on me. Lord, I ask that you be with those that are listening in that at a later date, and Lord, be with my children that they have an open heart and an open mind as to the message that I will be delivering to them. But Lord, it's my desire, it's my will, it's my hope, it's my drive, Lord, to help bring forth this body, to help it come to fulfillment, because this, Lord, this world is just so full of nasty that just come, Lord, with the appearing as soon as possible. For Lord, be with those, like I said before, that need a healing or comfort. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.